And we're back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Well, PA12. You probably don't know what that is, but a potential shortage of this resin, which is used in fuel lines and brake lines, has automakers and parts suppliers in Detroit scrambling. To find out how serious of a problem this is and just how fragile the auto industry supply chain may be, I'm joined by Dr. Jay Barron, the president and CEO of the Center for Automotive Research. Dr. Barron, thanks for joining us this evening.
Well, you're welcome. I appreciate being asked.
So this stems from an explosion that damaged a German factory last month. The factory makes a chemical called CDT that's an ingredient in a resin called PA12. Company officials say it could take up to 3 months to get the factory up and running. So how serious of a problem is this really for the auto industry?
It's potentially very serious. We don't really know the degree of severity yet. That's what's going on right now. This is not a U.S. automotive industry problem. It is a global problem because PA12, or also known as nylon 12, is a very critical component that is used, as you mentioned, in fuel systems and brake systems. It is a critical component that adds strength and heat resistance to these products that is critical. And it is considered a commodity product. Therefore, many major automobile companies worldwide use it. And what they don't know, the interesting thing, what is not really known is they purchase perhaps nylon 12, but they don't purchase CDT, which is a component that goes into nylon 12. And it's the shortage of CDT that is a problem. So our auto companies, by and large, don't know where the sources of CDT come from that are in the nylon 12 that they use. So they have to do some exploring up the supply chain to find out who is critical in the supply chain for this particular company that had the explosion a few days ago.
So what's understood right now, though, is that this single German factory may be the only one in the world that produces CDT?
No, that is not likely. I can't answer that for certain. That is not the perceived problem. They are clearly a major supplier of CDT. And of the nylon 12 that is used, they supply at least 25, somewhere in the order of 25 to 50% of the world supply of nylon 12. And therefore, a major source. But I mean, if we are talking about the potential shutdown of up to 25% or more of the automotive production, that is a huge deal. And you know, the question is, how long could it take before the supply chain starts drying up with this material because of this shortage of this material? And that's in question under investigation right now. But it's estimated that there could be something in the order of a month's worth of inventory somewhere, you know, throughout the global supply chain.
Are substances like PA12, are there others like that used in automobiles that could face a shortage just like this in a split second?
Yes. And we have begun seeing much more attention aimed at the supply chain, automotive supply chain. A lot of this started just a year ago. You know, the first situation that really brought a lot of the supply chain issue to light was the fire that Magna had last March in Howell, Michigan, where they started shutting down production because of door trim panels and some of those items that were critical to several manufacturers. And then right after that came the Japanese tsunami that brought a lot of attention to paint pigments and electronics that were coming from single sources of these component parts as they get built up in the supply chain. And now we have this. And over the past year or so, you have seen a lot of attention and focus on understanding the depth of these supply chains just because of these types of issues.
Some might be surprised that major automakers aren't more diversified and have multiple sources for these substances. Is it just a matter of cost and they wouldn't be able to really fund that kind of a robustness?
Yes, it is driven primarily by cost, but also simplicity. The auto companies, by their nature, have developed their supply chains so that they really only want to partner with the tier ones, the people that they buy the final components or subcomponents from. They really don't want to get into telling their tier ones how to source their subcomponents and so on. But this is bringing a problem to light that they really have to be sensitive to that. And, you know, part of the reason that you have these low-level components like CDT often are, A, because it could be only one or two companies that have the IP, the intellectual know-how to make that. That can be an issue. Another issue is economies of scale, that it only makes sense to have one or two or three suppliers of this because of the volumes that are required that it has to be made and such to make this material at a competitive price.
I'm talking to Jay Barron. He's the president and CEO of the Center for Automotive Research in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So when you look at the industry of auto parts suppliers, we've seen consolidation in pretty much every industry that you can think of. How much has that been occurring in auto parts suppliers?
We have seen a lot of consolidation, particularly here in North America, and we're about to see more of it, particularly in Europe, because we sort of went through this transition earlier than the European auto industry has. But we have fewer suppliers. It's a much more rationalized supply chain and infrastructure here, so that the capacities that we have in North America are much more aligned with the levels of demand that we expect. So you are not going to see as much product push by the auto companies onto the consumer, where they produce large volumes of vehicles, even though the demand wasn't there, but they had to incentivize the consumer to buy them. You're going to see much less incentivization by the car companies, and sales will be much more closely aligned with consumer pull. That's a fact that the industry has rationalized closer to what the demand is.
When you see something like PA12 used universally across the industry, is it fair to say that that's the case for most auto parts, and really many of these cars are essentially coming from the same pieces?
I don't think it's fair to say that this is a general problem with lots of different parts. Cars, you know, the layperson often doesn't appreciate the complexity of vehicles today. And what you are seeing is in the area of electronics and in the area of certain chemical compounds like a nylon or a PA12, these are coming from, there's a large degree of evolution of these technologies. And so what you're seeing is more than ever before is a more rapid introduction of new innovation. And during those introductions of innovation, there are very narrow supply chains that are not robust. And because of the rapid introduction of this innovation, and then over time, as these products become more commoditized and become more competitive with other products and so on, the supply chain becomes less critical.
And the auto parts suppliers here in Michigan, are most of the parts being constructed in places like China and other third world countries?
Yes, this is a global industry more than it ever has been. This is a flat world. And so parts are coming in all over the place for any particular vehicle. It's interesting to look at the maps where parts come from. Even the engineering, the assembly of parts, powertrain, stamped components for the body, the major centers are clearly Mexico, Asia, which would include obviously China, Taiwan, Japan, Korea, and so on. Parts are coming all over the world. There's a sort of a stay-go analysis that is done whenever they launch a new vehicle that says, where are the lowest prices, how much is it going to cost to ship it, what are the tariffs, and looking at all of these logistics, which is part of the supply chain function now that is very active at all of these auto companies, is looking at the best way to get the right parts in the right place at the right time, at the lowest cost.
Given the fact that the technology is so highly improved now and some of the components are on the cutting edge, when it comes to some of the basic metallic parts in a car, are they actually sometimes less sturdy than they might have been years ago?
No, that's not fair to say. In fact, you're seeing, NHTSA, National Highway Transportation Safety Institute, which sort of governs the safety levels of the vehicle, their goal, and they've been very public about this, is zero fatalities. Zero. And I think it's somewhere around 50,000 or so deaths occur from transportation accidents, automobile accidents per year. They want that to come down to zero. Cars are getting safer, but every year they're getting safer.
Let's say those who look at an old Volvo that can run well over a couple hundred thousand miles and say, you know, they don't make cars like that anymore.
And some would say, thank God, because the new cars are lighter than the old Volvo and safer. The new materials, you can make very light cars with lighter advanced lightweight materials that are safer than cars of 10, 20 years ago. And it's through much more advanced design concepts, very complex engineering modeling software that is used to evaluate the structure, that if a car gets in a crash, where do the forces go How do they get absorbed? Rather than just over-engineering every part in the car and making it very heavy and running like a army tank down the road, now it's much more refined.
Even though you're pointing out that a lot of the components that are made overseas are made to save money and maybe some costs are cut that way.
They are cut when parts are made overseas, they are cut primarily due to labor cost. That they are not necessarily cut due to compromising quality. The quality levels are enforced quite rigorously by all major auto companies. So that is not the, general speaking, that is not a general concern.
Dr. Jay Barron, the president and CEO of the Center for Automotive Research. Dr. Barron, thanks for joining us this evening.
You're welcome. Thank you for talking about the subject.
And we always like to get some feedback from you. Our email address here, ccrecap@gmail.com. Send us a line. We're coming right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.